But I want you to think of a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It has been quoted already. Not that I'm going to give an address on the 2 Timothy chapter 4. The words are so well known. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm sure that if we were to apply that to our brother, there's not a voice here tonight would say that won't fit. It certainly would. I'm sure of that. The fight has been well fought. And it would really seem that it's not finished yet, because I was present at some meeting not too many weeks ago, and the vigor of many years back was just as evident then as it was at the beginning. So we'll not say that the fight is over. And then again, I have finished my course. I wouldn't like to say that. What's left of the course, I don't know. But up until the present, it has been well run. And not only so, as for the keeping of the stewardship, I think we'd all agree that our brother has surely kept it as intact as it was when it was first given to him. But I want you to think for tonight with me of a verse. If I'm not mistaken, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. It's in connection with David. David the son of Jesse. And then it continues. David the son of Jesse said, "The man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Lord, the sweet psalmist of Israel," and so on. And then when you come down to the next verse, it says that he that ruleth over men must be just. That was what David himself said. But now I want you to look at the next verse. It says, "Though my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant." An everlasting covenant ordered in all things unsure. It's that little word that I want to pass on. The last words of David, we have read in 2 Timothy, the last words of the great apostle. It doesn't say that they are the last, but we know that he did not do much writing after that. But the last words of David, as we have here, are very, very solemn. But there's something else that I want to point out. I know that my brethren are quite capable of putting me right if I'm wrong. The probability is that I am wrong, so I don't know what will happen, but at any rate, it's that little word that says this: "Though my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant." That little word, "yet." I ask a question to myself. Does that suggest the idea that there was a certain hint at regret on the part of the psalmist? "Yet, though," he says, "my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant." If it means that David is acknowledging that there was something in his life that gave him regret, it's a very, very interesting thing. If you read the first book of Kings, chapter 15 and verse 5, what God says about David, that David, the man after God's own heart, was raised up on high. He was faithful in everything that was committed to him. But there was just one big block on the page, and it was this: "Seal in the mother of Uriah the Hittite." That sin of poor David overtaken. He had neglected the word. Because according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, chapter 17 rather, it says, when the king sitteth upon his throne, he shall write in the book all the words of this law, according to the write in the book, like unto that which is before the priest and the Levites. It had to be written in the book, the words of the law. Now, if you read carefully, you'll notice that that law covers every aspect of life. Every variety of sin that David had fallen into, even the ninth commandment covered that sin, but David had fallen into it. And now said the Spirit that they write in a book, like unto that which is before the priests and the Levites. I take that to be where the tabernacle really was. And there was a book there, and they were to write from that book parts of the law and give that book to David. He was to keep that book on his desk, if you permit the word, even in those days, and he was to hold it before him all the time. He was to read in it every day. He was to act according to that book. Every action, every word had to be substantiated by that book that sat before his very eyes all the time. Now this is what we've come to. We come to David's own estimation, not what God says. It's God's estimation of David in 1 Kings chapter 15 and 5. But now what he said himself, though it be not so with my house on God. Surely that must be an acknowledgement of failure. But what I want to leave now with you is this simple little word, and I've sat down. What is this simple little word? Though it be not so with my house on God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. For an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, I'm sure. What's the everlasting covenant? The word of God, God's promise, substantiated by his oath, that they would not fail to sit upon the throne of David, a son of David. And that takes us right on into the time of the millennium, where our blessed Lord Jesus, the real son of David, will sit upon that throne. In spite of all the failure of the past, David says, though it be not so with my house, God is faithful. That's the wee word I want. If we believe not, which of us, dear brethren and sisters, tonight would dare to say that we have been faithful all the way through? But thank God, we may say this, that God is faithful, and he won't change. And so, in the last words of David, as I have quoted to you, recorded here, though it be not so with my house on God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, a covenant that doesn't depend upon my faithfulness, but it depends upon his faithfulness. If it were to depend upon mine, I wouldn't be here tonight. But thank God, oh, may God bless help us. And I just pass the word to the young people to so live before God that the 50 years should intervene before the Lord comes to take you home, that you'll have no regrets at the end of those 50 years. Remember, though you fail, we have one who will never fail. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Accept these few stumbling remarks, and may the Lord help us to understand and to rely that we have put our faith in a God who cannot lie. Though we fail, he remaineth faithful.